This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a great start to your day.
Because you know, when you start your Saturday off with us, you started your Saturday off right.
That's what I'm talking about. So, Fee, the Busy Bee, I hope that you had a fantastic week.
I did. I learned so much this week.
Okay, you want to just share a little bit about what you learned?
Well, I think I learned that, you know, you have to make plans in life.
Okay.
You know, I thought about what I've been studying now because I've really been trying to make sure that I'm being disciplined on top of things. And so I first started out habit, and I kind of went through the habits that I put forth this week, and it's allowed me to be disciplined. And so I thought that was just so cool to be able to do that. But I thought about just how, you know, so many times in the Bible where, you know, people had to be disciplined, but they had to be intentional about it, and they had to make a plan.
Right.
I think about Mordecai, how he talked to Esther, and he had to make a plan to save the Jews. You know what I mean? But how he had to be strategic, and he had to make a plan.
Right.
And so I see now just, you know, in business and in life, sometimes you do have to have those times where we meet, because me and Dr. B are so busy. I was like, we got to have those meetings in between time every week where we meet and we really be intentional about it and make sure that we're planning.
Right.
And that's the way you can get your goals accomplished. So I've learned a lot with working on myself this week, and it's allowed me to learn that lesson.
That's awesome. I mean, it's kind of cool you said that, because that's one of the things I had written down in my notes about just learning to plan better, because it's so easy to get to ripping and running,
or putting out fires,
right,
and not really leading and running your business. Your business is running you.
Right. So that's one of the things I said, you know, when we talked about it, just having that day where we can just connect with our business, you know, so we can plan, we can scale, and we can just put both of our brains together to get to that next level. So that is a great thing, you know, just learning to be disciplined, learning to plan. And you hear that so often. And as business owners, you know that. But like I said, it's so easy to allow your business to run you instead of you run your business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And there's so many great things in the Bible that we can use as examples that we can apply to our life. And so when I thought about that, I thought about, you know, the building of the wall. You know, it's so many different things in the word that, you know, people had to really make out a plan.
Right.
And I think sometimes we know in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that God has plans for us.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we forget, just like with faith without deeds, we forget to think that we have to try to make out a plan, even though God knows our steps and we know that God's in control. But we still need to make efforts to make plans and make steps to those plans and reach those goals.
That's awesome. So that's awesome. I'm glad you learned that. I'm glad I learned that. So again, it's always good to be able to learn something every single day. I mean, you just have to open up your mind, learn something, and hopefully you can spread that learning to encourage someone else on their journey as well. So today, our Black History Fact of the Day, or should I say our Living Legend Fact of the Day, we're going to be talking about probably one of the most famous radio hosts ever to walk the face of the earth, in my opinion, in the African-American culture, and that's Tom Joyner, the Fly Jock. So I hope that you all enjoy.
I am the hardest working man in radio, the Fly Jock, Tom Joyner. I became famous for flying from Dallas to Chicago and doing local shows every day. I've always done black radio. It was one black radio station after another. And now the syndicated show, serving an audience of about 8 million, mostly African Americans, and I'm still doing the same thing that I was doing back then, just super serving the black community.
And she's gonna perform live.
My hometown is Tuskegee, Alabama. I come from a town rich in black history and rich in pride. My mother and father, they both worked at the Tuskegee Airmen program. That's how they met. My father was a cadet. My mother was a secretary for one of the white commanders. I was raised in a community of a bunch of fearless, hardworking, black, educated people, and I didn't know how privileged I was. In the 60s, we had protest marches in Tuskegee. And the children would go out and protest because the parents didn't want to be seen protesting for fear of losing their jobs. Every Saturday, we would protest something. The Confederate soldier in the park, desegregation of a lunch counter. This particular Saturday, we were protesting the fact that in my little all-black town, we had one radio station that didn't play any black music. The owner of the station came out there while we were protesting. We want Aretha, we want the Temptation. Tell you what, I will let you all have a radio show. So which one of y'all want to do it? And that's how my career started, as a result of a civil rights march. Back in the 60s, there was no cable or even TV news that was covering the marches. The only way that Dr. King and them could get the word out about a march would be in either in the church or the radio. Black radio has always been about serving the black community. I'm a true believer that if you can dream it, you really can achieve it. Every day there's something to address, especially in the African American community. So no, my work is not done.
Tom Joyner, a living icon, a living legend, still here to this day. And I really want to lift him up because not only was he a radio host, but he was a known civil rights advocate who promoted equality amongst the races. And also, he is a philanthropist. I mean, he donates millions of dollars to HBCUs every single year by having his fantastic voyage cruise, even to this day, which started in 1998, and it has entertainment, seminars, networking opportunities, and also great destinations where celebrities and entertainers come and they perform and they meet and greet the people that are on the cruise that are supporting this initiative. And he's donated millions of dollars to HBCUs all across the United States. So join me in lifting up this living legend, the Fly Jock, Tom Joyner.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
Well, hey, it's Fee and it's time for the tea. And we have a lot to talk about today. I hope everyone is doing well. I want to shed some light on Pinky Cole. We know that she is the one that owns Slutty Vegan. Exciting news about her. We know that she had lost her business and went through some hardship. In the same year, bought her business back. and now she's franchising. And so she's out there like, hey guys, what city should I transact? Go ahead and franchise in. So she is ready to get Slutty Vegan moving. And I just want to just throw it out there, guys. Like, when you're going through hardship and you hit a block, you know, and you feel like you can't move on, or you feel like, you know, things are over, you just gotta keep getting up and keep moving. I mean, she is just an inspiration of what even transpired in her life with her business, and how now look at where she's going. Now she's gonna be franchising Slutty Vegan. And that's so she awesome. Already was doing something amazing with even bringing this out. And so I'm just proud of her and proud of the way she got things going. So a lot of us know her as Pinky Cole, but of course she got married, so she's Pinky Cole Haynes. But we're just so excited and so fired up for her. Also, too, we want to talk about Dr. Johnny Jones. He's one person too that didn't allow his age or anything to get in the way of what he wanted to do. And I don't know if you guys know this, but a lot of colleges are giving people that are seniors free classes, which I think is really cool. So let's listen to Johnny's story. He's from Mississippi, and he proved that perseverance is no age limit when he earned his PhD in human ecology from the LSU at 83 years old.
Wow.
He was a Marine veteran and began with only a sixth grade education and studied through combat zones during the Vietnam War before earning degrees from the University of Hawaii and LSU. Mm. After decades of service and health challenges, he finally achieved his dream of becoming a doctor. So let's give it up for Dr. Jones.
That's awesome.
That is so amazing with him. And also, too, on sad news, we have a couple things. Cool in the Gang, I don't know if you guys remember them, Get Down On It. I mean, we used to have so much fun with them and just their music. But one of their band members has passed away. We learned last week that Michael Sumler, known as Chicago Mike, died in a car crash in Cobb County. He was a longtime member of the Kool & the Gang group. Mm. Sumler was celebrated for his ability to energize crowds and connect with fans, and spending over three decades with the band. He was influential beyond the stage, actively mentoring younger musicians and fostering their success in their music industry. I mean, that was just so great that he was able to not only just energize the stage, but energize our young people and going for their dreams as being musicians.
Right. That's awesome.
So that's just amazing. Mm-hmm. On another news, you know, my brother, Deion Sanders, we love him so much over here. We're always rooting for Deion and whatever he does, and our nephews. On sad news with Deion, we know that he had bladder cancer, where just this past week, he's known that he's found blood clots in his legs. Mm. So he's got to go and figure out what's going on with that. So, I mean, he's just had some health things hit him, but he's still fighting on in his journey. So I hope you see the people we shared about today were people that were pioneers, people that no matter what would get in their way, they still kept going and fighting for what they wanted to see in their lives. This is Feed the Busy Bee, and that's the tea.
Well, that's awesome, Feed the Busy Bee. And I just want to shed a little light with Deion as well, because he did an interview with Michael Strahan this week. I mean, that was really big in the news, and kind of like you shared, that's when he talked about all the information. Oh, that was 4 weeks ago? Oh, I'm late.
That was a while ago.
Oh, I'm so. I thought it was a couple days ago.
That's okay.
You know, but one of the things that he talked about in the interview that I really love, because I looked at it, he said that we are all fighting something.
That's
what I mean? And I think that's so true, because no matter what your struggle is, it might not be cancer. They might not have to cut off your limbs, but we're all fighting something in this life, and we got to make sure that we're keeping our head above water. It might be dealing with kids or health issues or financial issues or, you know, just depressed or whatever it might be, but we're all fighting something, and we have to make sure that we just stay in that fight, that we don't give up. Just like Feed the Busy Bee said about Pinky Cole, she could have rolled over and said, hey,
definitely
with this stuff. Just like Dr. Johnny W. Jones, when he had health issues, I mean, he's 86 years old, I mean, 83 years old, getting his PhD. I mean, that's amazing. So we all fighting something. So I just want to encourage you to just stay in there, keep fighting, and don't give up. All right, so political corner, guys. Just got a little bit to say about that today. Well, we're still on, well, if you count Saturday, this day 11th of the government shutdown, and a lot of people were still out of work. I know one of my clients, she was saying that her sister works for the CDC, and she's not working, and they don't even know if they're going to get back pay. So you think about all the people that are out of work during this time, and I hope they come to a resolution, but I still hope they don't mess with insurance and healthcare premiums or anything like that. I was looking at the news a few days ago, and they were just saying if this certain bill gets passed that the Democrats are fighting, healthcare premiums could almost triple. So you think about someone on a fixed income who might be getting services through the ACA Affordable Care Act, and let's say their premiums is, let's say, $150 a month for their insurance. So they said those premiums could actually jump to about $400 or $500 a month. Now that might not sound a lot to some people, but for some people, if you're only making, let's say, $1,500 a month, man, that's a third of your bills going to healthcare, and that's not including medication. That's not including transportation if you have to get
not
there.
Not including paying for, you know, the
copays.
Yeah, paying for the copays. And then when you get there, you got to pay for parking.
Right. It's just a lot going on. So we're just, man, praying that this gets resolved in a positive way. And also, the Nobel Peace Prize announcement came out, and our president did not win. And he had a few things to say, but someone else won. And I want to play this clip so you all can kind of get a little information about her, a revolutionary in a positive way in Venezuela, won the Nobel Peace Prize for 2025.
Found out that despite his constant overtures to the Nobel Prize Committee, Donald Trump did not win the honor. The committee instead opted to award the honor to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado for her tireless work promoting democratic rights for the people of Venezuela and for her struggle to achieve a just and peaceful transition from dictatorship to democracy. The Nobel Committee chair offered up this explanation as to why Donald Trump did not win.
U.S. President Donald Trump has repeatedly said he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize and he'd like to have it. He even said that it would be an insult to the United States if he doesn't get it. What does your, as the chairman of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, think of this, and how has this campaign-like activity by the president and his supporters domestically and internationally affected the deliberations and the thinking in the committee?
In the long history of the Nobel Peace Prize, I think this committee have seen any type of campaign, media attention. We receive thousands and thousands of letters every year of people wanting to say what for them leads to peace. This committee sits in a room filled with the portraits of all laureates, and that room is filled with both courage and integrity. So we base only our decision on the work and the will of Alfred Nobel.
Ah, see, therein lies the problem. The people who win have courage and integrity. Perhaps if Donald Trump knew that those were the qualifications, he would have realized that his chances were slim to none. Now, right off the bat, I have to say this. The notion that Donald Trump is so dense to ever think he was a contender is a testament to the ocean of delusion that he swims in. This is a guy who has deployed the US military to American cities and states, a guy who has created a personal army of ICE agents who terrorize community and act with impunity, a guy who is single-handedly dismantling our system of governance in the world's oldest modern democracy. That he thinks he would even be in the conversation should frighten anyone who would expect the President of the United States to have even an ounce of self-awareness. You would also expect the President of the United States to have an ounce of shame, and yet in his interminable effort to grant himself this award, he showed anything but. Here's a montage from Jimmy Kimmel of Trump's discreet pleas to win the award.
Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize. He didn't do anything. They gave it to Obama for doing absolutely nothing.
He got the Nobel Prize for doing nothing.
They should give me the Nobel Prize.
Everyone says that I should get the Nobel Peace Prize.
I had so many people, you should get the Nobel Prize.
I was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
I got the Nobel Peace Prize nomination.
I got nominated for the Nobel Prize.
Where's my Nobel Peace Prize they don't talk about?
A Peace Prize Nobel nomination, and they didn't cover it.
And I don't care, but I'm not looking for it. I'm not politicking for it. I'm just saying that
There's a lot of unfairness in this world.
Yeah, well, you know what? No one has suffered more unfairness than him. He's had it hard, guys. He's had it really hard. He claims he's not politicking for the Peace Prize, which must be why the White House posted this very subtle message calling him the Peace President.
He is definitely not the Peace President.
Wow. What do you all think about the excerpt?
And Jimmy Fallon better watch out, he get fired again.
But one thing I love about him, he's not scared to really just, you know,
voice his opinion. He understands his freedom of speech.
His freedom of speech, and he has a platform for it. So what do y'all think about that? And congratulations to the Nobel Peace Prize winner. I mean, she did a great job by winning. And I'm just grateful. But you see that our president, he did not agree with the young lady winning. And I mean, he had a lot to say, a lot of negativity. And I just, you know, it's just one of those things. And how do you feel about that? I would love to be able to know how you all feel. Maria Corina Machado, and I know I messed up her name, but they said it
you
on
botched
the audio.
It up.
But they said it on the audio. She won, and she is an advocate for democracy in Venezuela, and she has done some amazing things. I know I was following her on social media, you know, when I heard that she had won, but it's just amazing that a woman, a female one, mm-hmm. and also just someone who's really taken a stand in a country that's kind of going, you know, they have a lot of challenges, but she stood up and she's going against the grain. And one of the things that I realized with the Nobel Peace Prize, just like the young man said on the audio clip, is that the Nobel Peace Prize comes from courage, people promoting peace, people promoting character, unity, and also just you know, just making sure that people are on the same page when it comes to empathizing for others and really moving forward. And how our president, like the guy said on the audio clip, who's not really promoting peace, mm-hmm. but yet he thought that he was gonna really win that Nobel Peace Prize. And I think there's only four American presidents that have won that. Now, I don't know all four, but I know three of them. Carter won, Obama won, and FDR won. So I guess Trump wanted to be the fifth one that won the Nobel Peace Prize from America.
Good luck with that.
You know, but that's his thing. And then one thing that I did find out, too, that anyone could nominate someone. He was making this big thing about he got nominated, but someone can nominate me for a Nobel Peace Prize. They can write a letter to the committee and nominate Dr. B. Pope for a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, am I going to win? Probably. Man, no. I mean, look at me and put my stuff in the trash can. But anyone could be nominated. So that's just something to think about as we think about, you know, just the things that are going on. And again, our prayers are with everyone who are just going through and just feel a little uneasy about what's going on in this world. And I just want to encourage you to make sure that you are praying and make sure that you are trusting God in everything that's going on, because that's all we have, everybody. So my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk.
Forget it whenever you need me. If you want me to put it on you, come on.
Pain over pleasure, for that you forever be a part of me. Mind, body, and soul, ain't no I in we. Baby, when you cry, who wipes your tears? When you scared, who's telling you there's nothing to fear? Girl, I'll always be there when you need a shoulder to lean on. Never hesitate, knowing you can call on your soulmate and vice versa. That's why I be the first to see Jacob and frost your wrist up. Now you're old man, I know you're tired of being lonely. So baby girl, put it on me.
What would I be without you?
So baby girl, put it on me.
I will,
what would I be without you?
on a down payment thinking, damn, ain't life gravy? And ever since for my honey, I've been twice the lady. But what I do without the nights that you kept me warm? When this cold world had a girl caught in the storm. And I accept when you whiff, when you're caught in the wrong. And respect when you flip, cause our love is strong. And when you hit the block, I watch for tenfold. And when my pops asleep, you snuck in the back door. Baby boy, we've been down since junior high. So when life get hot as July, it's the world against you and I. We ballin', tied together and never. Heart from the heart, knew that it would last forever. When you told me, you would never leave me lonely. So baby boy, put it on me.
It's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family, and we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397, or check us out on the web at bettercare4you. That's bettercare4you.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
wanna say kids like no other. I know I got a lot of things I need to explain, but baby, you know the name, and love is about pain. So stop the complaints and drop the order of restraint. Sex life's a game, so back me down in the pain. I can't wait no more, cause it's about a quarter past three, and sure days I mean, I got the Bentley valet, and I'm just outside of Jersey, past the Palisades, and I love to see that some boots and shades spread out on the bed while I'm yanking your braids. Thug style, you never thought I'd make you smile while I'm smacking your ass and hitting you all wild. We share something so rare, but who cares? You can, baby.
I'm not always there when you call, but I'm
come on, pull it together. It's only a sun shower. We've been through worse weather, like stormy night. You wrote a dear job letter and took my Benz and keyed and cut the leather. Girl, you know better. He's an MOB. Money over Brody's murder, INC. I got two or three broads for every V, and I keep them drugged up off that ecstasy. I'm a playground legend like Kirkland Pee Wee. Name a baller in the league, got more game than me. I play harder, so many women I fathered. Meet them with scars and send them home hot and bothered. Truth to dare, this life ain't apparently fair, and a love with no glare is a crystal stare. But we share something so rare, but who cares? You can, baby. Mama's boot in the coldest weather, and when I play, you play the same way. You freak me, baby. I f- you crazy, then I'm gone. And baby, don't really want me to get up and leave up that easy. Should be waking up wet for she's a remind these women to mind their business. Believe me, this pimp game is very religious, and I'm built like a Don Bishop. Gold deep dish, money green pens, and my world is my witness. The life we share is a thug affair, but who cares? You care, baby.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a fantastic time just hanging out with us and just relaxing and just listening to some good music. And that was, I think I was just in the mood for Ja Rule today.
I'm serious. Like everything was Ja Rule. Like, what's up with that?
The first song was by Ja Rule and Lil Mo, and then Put It On Me. The second song was by Ja Rule and Ashanti, Always On Time. And I think I thought about that Ashanti song because Felicia, you can, you know, you love that little Nelly show with Nelly and Ashanti.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of it?
I think Nelly and Shante. Okay. We Belong Together. That's the name of
together.
It.
Mm-hmm. And thank you all so much for joining us today. And thank you for having this time just to spend with us as we talk about different things that our listeners have been emailing us about. So
right. This
is part two of the show from last week because we focused on our emails that we received from some of our listeners. And today we're going to read a few more of those emails because it just seemed like time just left last week. We looked up, we started, and then a few minutes later the show was over, and we had several more emails that we wanted to dig into. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So thank you so much for hanging out with us again this morning. All right, so Feed the Busy Bee, you want to go ahead and jump into it? We can go ahead and look at our first question. All right.
Okay, so our first question is, Carla says that she's a saver, so her husband is a spender, and what are you laughing about?
It's just funny because he kind of like paused.
No, because I'm like, Carla sounds like me. Uh-huh. But Carla says that she's a saver and her husband is a spender. And money is a major source of conflict in their household.
Okay.
So the question is, how can married couples handle financial disagreements when one person is a saver and the other person is a spender?
Oh, wow. Well, Carla, first of all, financial conflict is one of the top reasons why marriages struggle. But it's not about who's right or wrong. It's about finding shared goals. So one of the things that I would want to encourage you is to sit down with your husband and have some kind of conversation about what's going on. Because just like Feed a Busy Bee said, that in our relationship, I can be more of a spender and she can be more of a saver. So and I think, too, This is what helped us. You know, you have to figure out who's better with money. Because that was our big thing when we first got married. I just assumed the reign because I was a man and I said, hey, it's my role to make sure the finances are kept in. I did not know what I was doing. Hey, I worked before I got married and I barely balanced my checkbook.
Keep in mind, you guys, we were young.
Yeah, right. So I knew exactly how much I had in the bank and different things like that. But I really wasn't on top of my finances. But Felicia, on the other hand, she actually worked at a bank, so she had experience with that. And plus, she was able to manage money a lot better than me.
And I also went to school for accounting, so that helped a lot.
I made a lot of mistakes. I know in my book that I'm coming out with, I talk about some of the stores that I made with money and just not spending wisely and buying things, or really just using money for me and not really trying to. When Felicia asked about buying some shoes or something, and I say, we have to go and look at it. We can't afford it this month. But if I wanted some shoes, hey, I made that money. I made it happen. So you have to really have those conversations about it. And then also you got to figure out what works in your household, because every household is different. I think we shared about that on the show before, that some people, you know, that they have different budgets for different things. They have separate accounts, but it works for them. So what might work for our household may not work for you, but I think you have to have that conversation.
Yeah. And I think it's okay for someone to be a savior. I mean, you know what I mean? A saver. It's like somebody has got to save. That's how I keep thinking my mind, save. Someone's got to save, you know, the save each other or save the marriage when we're falling down financially.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes when things will happen and Brill will be like, I ain't want to tell you, but this was going on. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. I got money. We can do that. Right. We can do that. I had put this money back that you didn't know anything about. So we're straight. You know, so somebody needs to kind of save money. So when emergencies come, then you can do that. Or if we had people to say, hey, you know, somebody needed some money or whatever in the family or whatever. We always had it because I had it. Because I would be the one that would save it. If they wait for Braille to have it, it wouldn't gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing you got to think about. So, and I think that will help. But I think Braille kind of said it all. He answered the question. So, you know, just set up the goals and what you guys need help with. So if he's a spender, then maybe talk about a budget of how much he could spend.
Right.
Say, okay, this is our eat out money. This is our grocery budget. This is your money just to go. Like, I think for us, we got a budget for fun stuff, a budget for, like, if you just want to go out to lunch while you're at work.
Right.
And then we have, like, a grocery budget, which sometimes our grocery budget just kind of gets a little crazy. So we always have to kind of revisit that.
Because I like to shop for deals. Felicia just like, hey, if I like it, I'm going to go buy it.
Like this morning, I was doing my Walmart shopping on my app. And I wanted some Folgers instant coffee. And he's like, well, wait a minute. We're going to look at Publix. They may have a buy one, get one free.
They might have a buy one, get one free. But then on the flip side, you didn't even know how much coffee cost. When you saw that price, you're like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I didn't know coffee had went up that high. But then he goes, oh, they got a buy one, get one free. What kind of coffee was it?
It was Maxwell.
Yeah, and I was like, hon, I don't drink Maxwell. I drink Folgers. And then he's like, well, oh, just go on Walmart, look for the Walmart coffee. I said, I don't think you understand. I work hard every day. If I want Folgers coffee, I'm buying Folgers coffee. And he's that type of person where it's like he can throw money away, but then with stuff like that, he want to pitch pennies. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, I'm not.
So that's what happens with us.
Felicia just don't understand grocery shopping. She just buy the stuff and she don't understand saying it's a cost. I mean,
well, I think it's a cost, but I think
save on. Like I say, because I love Publix 2-for-1. You know what I mean? That's how I shop. I mean, I probably bought 5 things from Publix for myself that wasn't 2-for-1.
And one thing I can say that I'm grateful for too, it's like when I was sick and going through all the stuff I go through, that's when Burrell started kind of picking up stuff. Like he would be coming home and I said, oh, can you run to the store? Mm-hmm. So that's what he's meaning by how he goes and pick up stuff. He's more aware of the price, because sometimes he was the one picking up stuff. Right. You know what I mean? Or whatever. So so I think that's been something great that he didn't used to do, but now he does. Mm-hmm. So I'm so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to worry about picking up stuff at the last minute.
And then the online shopping
has saved us a lot,
man,
too.
We got away from
it. Well, you don't feel good. No, we're still talking about spending and talking, but I think it's good for them to understand real life and what we go through.
Right.
So I think what we were talking about is what happened this morning. So I guess my thing is always, have anybody ever like clipped out the coupons they're trying to save, but they buy this name brand food that they wanted, and then they get home and it's nasty.
Oh yeah.
So that's my thing. So I like Heinz ketchup. Don't bring me no different kind of ketchup. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just certain things. Yeah, like no, I can eat like off brand cereal and all that kind of stuff. You know, but certain things, I'm like, don't bring me a no name brand because I'm not gonna like it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they do have a coupon on it or I don't care whatever. And I think that was the thing with the coffee this morning.
Oh yeah,
Coffee. Yeah,
well, I wanted you to be open.
Because
I wanted you to be open about it. You know what I mean? Because you know, let's just see what Publix got. That's all I was saying.
Yeah,
Over. You're not in the camera as much.
I'm sorry.
Okay, probably move. I'm sorry.
Oh, move over some. I'm sorry about that. He's trying to readjust me. So yeah, not in the camera.
There we go. Because we live. I'm sorry about you. Because I didn't have the camera set up. Because we live, y'all. We live on Facebook.
I know. And thank you guys so much for watching, the ones who are watching on Facebook. But yeah, so I think that's the thing too. You want to save, but for me, I don't save money when I have to take something back I got from a coupon that I don't like and buy something else.
You like it.
You know what I mean? So I like what I like. Mm-hmm. So that's just what I'm saying. And he's right. I don't look at prices when I buy stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. Like I save, but also when I go shop, don't be on me about how much this cost, that cost. I saw it, I liked it, I bought it.
Right.
Now, am I a person that has to get name brand things? Oh, no. But if I see something I like and it's name brand, I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that was made by, you know, by somebody else, you know, that's not name brand, I'm going to get it. Whatever I like, I get.
And I think that's what works.
And I don't focus on price.
Right. And I think that's what works in our household. And again, some people are caught up on name brands. Is that bad or good? No, that's
just
your journey. It's your journey, because I know I'm not. But when it comes to my car, I like me a nice car. So it's like different things. Everybody has their vice, should I say. I know some people, they like purses. Some people like shoes. You know, I know one guy, he got about 20 pairs of Jordans. But that's his thing. But he don't care about his jeans or his shirt, long as he has his Jordans, you know. So whatever your journey, but I think getting back to this question, kind of like we did this morning, you have to have conversations about it. You know what I mean? Talk about different things.
Talk about the coffee.
Yeah, Well, another question that a listener, now this is tough, but this is for you, Be the Busy Bee. You ready for it?
Oh, what is it? Go ahead.
All right. How do you rebuild trust after it's been broken in a marriage? All right.
How do you build trust?
Mm-hmm.
That's deep when a partner has hurt you.
Yeah.
I think it's a process you have to go through with healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really do. And I think once you get through the emotional part of healing, then I think you have to kind of be able to try to understand the mindset of where they were or what they were thinking or what may have made them do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is dependent on what was done. I mean, it depends on how deep the hurt is, to be honest.
Yep, depends on how deep the hurt
is. Because either way, guys, whether you go through hurt in a marriage or a relationship and you don't stay in it, you still got to forgive. Mm-hmm. I think we got to understand that. I think we think if we leave, then I'm just done with it. But you still have to deal with the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget that. That's not the easy way out. Mm-hmm. You still have to do that because you don't want yourself dragging and having anything burden on you even after you left the relationship.
Right.
So just remember that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because unforgiveness is on you. It's going to tear you down, not the other person. They've moved on.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. But
I like what Feed the Busy Bee said about it all depends on the situation. I mean, of course.
The hurt.
Right. You know, the level of the incident that happened. Now, if it's something major like infidelity or something, you got to understand that that takes time.
Yeah, that takes therapy. That takes a lot.
And one thing I realized from working with clients, sometimes when people say I'm sorry, they expect that other person to be, you know, all like sunshines and rainbows because you apologize for your situation. And
oh, I confess it. I told you what I did. And you should be happy I told you
because you're not acting a certain way because I confessed it and I said
exactly, exactly.
And sometimes people need time to work through different things, mm-hmm. even on a smaller level. Let's say if I said something hurtful to my wife. Now she's good. If I really truly apologize with Felicia, okay, she can move on pretty quick. But if she hurts me, I have to kind of grasp that and process it. It might take me, you know, a lot longer than it does for her. But I think she had to understand that's just the way I process information, you know, because we're different on that way.
Right. So. But I think another thing, too, the reason why I forgive so quickly, guys, is because I have said some things out of this mouth that has just been crazy. Mm-hmm. Or like right now I'm going through menopause. I have like zero patience. So I might just snap at any given moment, you know. And so
zero to 100.
Yeah. And so I have to give a lot of grace has been given to me.
Yeah.
So I just give a lot of grace, if that makes any sense. So I guess I'm the one that always messes up and doesn't say something right. Or I think so. I think that's because I'm the type of person I'm going to say what I think.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you do that, your delivery may not be right or somebody may get their feelings hurt. So I've always kind of been over on that side where it's like, well, you said this and made me feel this way. So I've always had to be the person to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. So I think for me, I've kind of just even trained myself to know that, you know, this is something that maybe is my fault or I may have come across a certain way. So I think I'm more humble and more like apt to kind of like
to own it quicker
because I know who I am. And so I think when people come to me sideways, I'm like, okay, bad day, menopause, like what, you know, it's something going on with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be all right. Yeah. Everybody has a bad day.
Right.
So I don't think I take it serious. And definitely not with my husband because he shows me so much love. So I'd be like, you know, he'll be all right. He's just going through
something. Well, catch her on this day to day. Then she might be going off.
I still may say something now.
Yeah, but you know, but
you know, but it's not something I'm holding on to.
Right. And that's one thing I love about Fee the Busy Bee. She doesn't hold on to things quickly. And that's something I learned from her because I can hold on to things a lot longer than she will. So you want to move on to the next question?
Okay. So
get through a few.
The next question is,
we can skip the four if you want to. And then
okay, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, what are some signs we might need couple counseling? You know, so what are some things to look out for if we need counseling?
Yeah. Now, couples counseling, I just want to encourage everybody, it's not bad. Sometimes couples counseling get a bad rep, especially in a black and brown community. Don't bring nobody else into your marriage, you know, if you can't work it out yourself. But couple counseling is, I think it's
well, can I say something about that, though?
You can.
Or what you just said?
No, go ahead.
About don't bring nobody in your marriage. I think don't bring nobody in your marriage that hasn't been through anything and is not married. You know, go to the therapist because the therapist, and hopefully, guys, y'all get a therapist that's married.
Right.
Please. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying you can't learn from anybody, but please just go to somebody who's been married and live some life.
Right. Don't go through someone just green and they
you
just
know
give
what I'm saying?
You theory.
And they just give you theory
experience.
Off a piece of paper. Like, please don't do that.
Right.
But I think I kind of agree with that. Like, don't let certain people in your marriage, people that, you know, haven't been through it,
right,
haven't been there, you know what I mean? They're not seasoned.
Well, I guess,
and I think they're, you know, they're single. Like, they just don't,
right.
they can't understand.
I mean, I'm talking about for going to a therapist, couples
No,
counseling.
But I just wanted to grab what you were saying
to
let people know that, like, I kind of agree on that on this level. If they're not where they need to be, where they can help you, I agree with going to them.
Most definitely, but I guess
that's what I was just saying.
In the context of the email, I'm saying someone's looking forward to going to counseling, so they're just kind of looking like, you know, getting that stigma that we don't need help type deal. Because I think that's what happens a lot. And I know it, from the clients that I have, that's been the background. How a lot of men especially do not want to go to couples counseling. And because, and a lot of women as well, because in our community, we've been told to don't let other people in your marriage to help in situations like that. Now,
that's
do
just
it.
Fear. Don't let nobody in your business.
But what I'm saying,
what stays in this household
okay,
in this household.
But in our community, I hear you, Fee. Just give me a second. In our community, we just focus on that a lot. lot of times, but I really believe that counseling is a great caveat for people to get some outside help. First of all, if you go to a therapist, they don't have a dog in the fight. Now, if you're going to your girlfriend or your homeboy,
they're giving more fire.
But if you can find you a great therapist, if you're going through a situation where they don't have a dog in a fight, their main goal is to help you to learn how to cope with what you're going through. So what are some of the signs if you're arguing all the time and you can't move forward? I think that's a great avenue to say, okay, we might want to move forward towards couples counseling. Or if you can't get to a resolution on certain things, or if there's emotional distance. I know I've worked with a lot of couples where there's distance, where you don't know, I mean, you know it's something, but no one can figure it out, where you know it's that no if it doesn't really get dealt with, you're going down the road of divorce. And also, if there's a distrust with your partner, kind of like we shared about earlier, those could just be a few things for couples counseling. Because let me give you this statistic. The American Association of Marriage and Family Therapists reports that 98% of couples who attend therapy say they received good help. 98%.
So oh, that's now
you
really
might
good.
Not follow it, but you realize that it's good help.
It's helpful,
right?
Yeah.
And on the average, couples wait 6 years after serious issues to begin seeking help. 6 years. So my thing is this, why? And I think it's the same thing that Feed the Busy Bee was talking about earlier. I think sometimes we grasp with that concept of getting help, and then when it's too late. The thing that I like to think about when someone has, let's say, a serious diagnosis. Now, when someone goes to the doctor, like for men with prostate, your doctor can say, hey, you might want to get this checked out. So what you're doing, hey, you know the signs, you know the symptoms, so you're kind of, hey, let me go get some chemo, let me go get a second opinion. So you're really aggressive about that. But when it comes to relationships, we can have all the warning signs going off, but a lot of times we still refuse to get help when it comes to our relationship until it's too late. And then it's kind of like you all are so distant where you're just like two ships sailing in the night. So that's one of the things I really want to encourage people. Hey, if you can, if you feel like you're in that situation, it's okay to really reach out and get someone to really help you who's experienced, like Felicia say, who has the background and who really help. Not someone that's single trying to give all this married advice, you know, but you're working with someone who has a proven record of helping people in their relationship.
You said it.
All right. So this question. Feed the Busy Bee, you want to answer that?
Losing yourself in a marriage. Okay, I have been, this is a good one. And who is this person that sent this email? I don't see their name.
I'm not sure. I think that's Shelly Jones.
Okay. All right, Shelly Jones. I have been married to my husband for 7 years, and I feel that I am losing my identity. I used to like verbalize and, you know, be vibrant in my life. You know, I used to be the life of the party. I used to, you know, be that person that, you know, people felt like, you know, would come in and make everybody feel good about themselves. I feel like now that I am a shadow of myself. I love my spouse, but sometimes I feel like I am not myself. I do not want to lose who I am. My friends tell me that I am different, and it feels like my light is not shining anymore.
So you what know? Do you think about that? How would you respond to that?
Well, I think, like I said, I don't know all the details of their situation, so it's hard for me to say, you know what I mean? But I do think one thing I can speak on is that we have to make sure in relationships with people that we don't dim our light.
That's right.
You know, so I think I will more want to talk about surrounding that. Not dimming your light and always making sure that you're true to yourself. You know, and finding those times that you could have with yourself to establish those things or to do those things. And what I mean by establish those things, sometimes you just need a place where you just have peace and you can just sit and think with your own thoughts. Like right now, we just had that pause. That's so good for you in your life to just sit back and think about things. And it's so deep because this past week, I was having my time with God and I just sat back and I started thinking about all the things that God has allowed me to be. And it was so many things that Felicia Pope, Fee the Busy Bee is. And it blew me away when I wrote all that stuff down. I'm like, wow, I'm amazing. I'm all these things. You know, I'm a lover of God. You know what I mean? I'm a child of God. You know what I mean? I am a great wife. I'm a great mother. You know, I'm a business owner. I'm a dreamer. I'm a creator. You know, all this stuff I was thinking, I'm a seamstress. I mean, all these different things that God has given me, I'm a builder. I'm a visionary. Like all these things God was just showing me in my thoughts that I was. And I was like, man, if people just sit back and think about who God has allowed them to be and the things they have. I'm telling you guys, gratitude always takes you back. But you got to have those times and moments where you sit with yourself and then find ways to exercise what those things are. Make sure you're actually implementing them and doing them. You know, if you used to be the person that went in and you know, was the life of the party, then throw you a dinner party at your house. You know, have people over. Go have a girls' night and go get a drink or something. Like, start doing the things that you used to do at first that made you happy, that made you feel like that is who you are. And then communicate with your spouse. Like, hey, this is what I'm feeling. And you'll be surprised how they will do it. They'll be able to do things and help you and encourage you about that. And they will even give you affirmations and encouragement about who you are. And that will help you as well. So I can just go and speak on the realm of knowing yourself, being yourself, and, you know, and always, you know, putting your foot forward as far as who you are, not losing your dreams. Going for your goals, and things.
And I think on top of that, you know, because she said she's been married for 7 years, she's losing her identity. And I think a lot of women in relationships can get to that point,
right?
You know, get to that point where you're taking care of the kids, where you're doing this, where you kind of lose who you are. And I just really want to encourage you to make a, you know, do a gut check and ask yourself, is this true? And in what ways can I start becoming who I know I need to be? All right. But like Fee the Busy Bee said, if you know that you are an outward person and you love doing things, start implementing those things in your life. Talk to your spouse. If you are feeling that way, make sure that you have in-depth conversation and don't let no one try to persuade you to think differently.
Don't dim your light.
Because I remember, I know I was working with this couple at one point where she just felt like she didn't even know who she was, you know, and her husband was kind of overbearing. But it took her to start saying, look, this is what I need. If this marriage is going to move forth, I need you to do this to help me. This is what I need. But really just pleading with him so he could hear her. Because I think she had been trying to express how she felt, but he did not hear her and he kind of blew her off. So I think women, you got to really fight not to lose who you are. And of course, your role is going to change. You've been married for 7 years. You know, you got kids and everything like that. But you can't lose your identity.
Right.
Because what happens over time when someone loses their identity, they become different. But over time, it can set you up in the long run for being critical of your spouse. Because when you get older and it start ruminating, you start asking yourself, man, why am I in this place? And then that's a doorway that you can start getting negative or critical of your spouse, or even, you know, start liking what someone else is telling you on the outside of your relationship. I'm just throwing things out there because I've seen these things kind of play out. But you got to make sure that you're being true to yourself and then making sure that your spouse hears what you're saying.
Right. And I think too, just remember, sometimes, as you know, I know women and men, but sometimes we take it for the team. And what I mean by that is sometimes we sacrifice more than the other. That's all. So, you know, hey, Burrell's gonna go and he's gonna get his degree, and right now I'm gonna support him while he get his degree, and I'm just gonna take care of these kids and drive them all around to their practices and do whatever they need to do. And then later on, my goal will be to go to school for nursing, and so when he gets through that, I'm gonna do that.
That's right.
Like we have those work different things, you know, where we help each other, but sometimes we just take it too much for the team, where it's like, okay, he got his doctor, now he wanna go do something else. Well, wait a minute, I'm supposed to have been doing this. And if you don't speak up, that will be exactly how it is, and you will lose yourself. So
thank you so much. Well, Fee the Busy Bee is.
So I wish, I know, but I wish her the best. And I just hope everyone that sent these questions and stuff, I hope that we've answered them. And I hope too, we've actually, you know, gave some examples of our own lives and what we go through.
Right.
Because me and Dr. B, we want to be relatable.
Right.
We don't want to talk at you. We want to talk with you.
Right. So at this time, it's time for our quote of the day, and it's by Nicholas Sparks. He says that every couple needs to argue now, and then just to prove the relationship is strong enough to survive. Long-term relationships, the ones that matter, are all about weathering the peaks and the valleys. And I really do believe that, because in a relationship, you are going to go through the high times and the low times, but then the high times again. So
that's it.
And again, guys, we are on social media.
Yeah. So even check us out on our email. It's called Real Talk with Dr. B and Fee at gmail.com. Our email is Real Talk with Dr. B and Fee at gmail.com. Also, too, you can reach us on other platforms as Amazon Music if you want to hear the whole entire show, because we know our listeners and stuff on Facebook are only seeing us when we talk about our main topic. But if you want to hear the whole entire radio show, please go to Amazon Music. Please check that out and listen for us. That will be great so you can hear the whole show. You can also catch us on iTunes and Pandora. The Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee the Busy Bee. That is the name of the show. The Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee the Busy Bee. When you look it up on Amazon Music, iTunes, and Pandora.
Well, all right. Well, thank you so much, Fee the Busy Bee, for that. And thank you, listeners, for joining in to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee the Busy Bee.
And we are busy
out.
For listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.